This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside the VSiN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi here on this Saturday morning. It's Derby Day, and excuse me, I was rude. I didn't even put my shades on for Derby Day, Michael Lombardi. Let's go, buddy. Where's your Derby outfit, man? I'm over here riding solo.
I thought for sure you'd be in England. I thought for sure you and Harry would be on that plane going over there to celebrate it. I'm actually honored that you decided to stay with us here on the Lombardi Line. I appreciate you, Femi, because you got a lot of defending to do here. Your boys last night, I mean, look, that was like stealing. It was like so much it was stealing. So what, somebody on Twitter said to me that they get a kick out of it, you know, that there was late money coming in on Philadelphia. Here's the interesting thing, and you can – update the show, but The interesting thing about last night is that the book here at the Borgata at BetMGM property here, Thomas Gable, who we know really well, we'll have him on later in the show at the 1:30 11:30 hour East Coast time. They've needed Philly in every three games. Like no one, there's two elements of the 76er team. There's the fans who can't see the reality. And then there's the bookies who see the reality and understand the numbers. And they need Philly in every game. They need Philly in every game. Even though there was late money coming in on Philly last night, I would love to know where that was coming from. But, you know, when I watched an MVP get his trophy, you know, back in 2001, the guy went out and, you know, he was what? He was 21 for 32 from the field. He shot 8 for 14 from three-point line. He scored 52 points, and the team won 121-88. This time, the team lost by 12.
And that MVP you were talking about was Allen Iverson back in the day.
The MVP, the guy who was the MVP of the team, who was also the number one seed in the league. We just gave the MVP to a guy who was the third seed, and he's going to lose in the second round. I mean, we've diluted the MVP. I mean, now Giannis, if he would have gotten it, he would have lost in the first round. So
yeah, that
would
have been embarrassing. You know,
that would have been embarrassing as well. But my point here is, you know, all that fanfare, all that energy in the building, it's going to lighten the team. It's going to make them so much better. It was a gimme putt.
Well, we're going to get into the betting recap from yesterday and last night's NBA because it was a profitable day for me, even though I know that you're talking about the first half bet that didn't cash for me. But we do have a fun show over these next 2 hours. Kentucky Derby will be at the top of the mind, and it's going to start in about 15 minutes. Eddie Olczyk, former NHL player, but we love him because he loves the ponies. He's going to break things down for us over at Churchill Downs. He was on yesterday's broadcast with the Kentucky Oaks, absolutely crushing it. We're going to get his thoughts on the big news that came out this morning with the favorite Forte being scratched from the race. Also, in 45 minutes from now, Jonathan Von Tobel, VSiN senior NBA analyst and host of the Hardwood Handicappers podcast, will talk NBA with us. At 8:15, our buddy Mike Somich, VSiN contributor and also a handicapper at RacingDudes.com, talking more Kentucky Derby. That'll be at 11:15 Eastern, 8:15 West Coast time. And then Thomas Gable, the race and sportsbook director over at the Borgata at 11:30, like Michael mentioned, 8:30 West Coast time. So we will talk Kentucky Derby coming up in the next segment. But Michael, you talked about the NBA, and I know you're trying to take a victory lap on me after your Sixers did what you thought they'd do. Yeah, you're trying.
I don't see it.
But we won. We won last night.
I don't bet. I don't take it as a victory lap. I take it as trying to convince people to not fall into the trap, the 76er trap, this Joel Embiid trap, the greatest player, you know, the best center in the history of centers. You know, how many titles did Bill Russell win? I think it was 11.
It was like 11,
I mean, I at some point I've lost out on, you know, what's now occurred as the – what is most important is the player award as opposed to winning. I mean, they're going to get eliminated in the second round again. And so where are they going to go? Now here's the rhetoric that's going to come out. Here's the narrative that's going to come out. He needs a better supporting cast around him. But that's been the narrative for 4 years.
Yeah.
That's been the narrative for 4 years. You know, it needs a better supporting cast. He needs a better players around him. Harden's terrible. He was. But how does Harden play as bad as he did last night and as good as he did on Monday? How does that happen? How does Tobias Harris and Maxey have the same kind of lack of impact on the team? And you could see the energy. I think if you're really if you're observant and you're watching the game, you could see that the team that there's no real flow or chemistry within the team. And when he scores 50 points, yeah, everybody just sits around and watches.
The night began on a happy note for the Philadelphia 76ers with Embiid getting that MVP trophy. And I do think there was some extra juice in the building. We were able to get the first quarter bet home miraculously. I think it took like a 14-3 run at the end of the first quarter for that bet to go ahead and cash. The first half bet that I had, which was Sixers plus 1.5, they got outscored 29-21 in the second quarter, and it was all downhill from there. And I agree with you, this Philadelphia 76ers team, it feels like they've kind of hit their head on the ceiling in terms of their actual trajectory. Like, this is not going to be a team that goes to a conference finals unless they had some sort of easy path that broke their way. But even then, they would probably blow it, because we saw them do that a couple years ago when they lost to the Atlanta Hawks in that game 7 at home, when they should have been able to get to the conference finals that year. But I don't know. I mean, I think you're right about this Sixers team. And my guess is that this series ends in 6 games. I think Boston will give up one more game, just because Boston can be a little lackadaisical at times. We saw that last series against Atlanta, how that went 6 games, even though it had no business going 6 games. I think we see another scenario here. Maybe Sunday is the day that the Sixers go out there and throw the kitchen sink, but I think we end up seeing Boston in 6 after what we saw yesterday, Michael.
No, I don't. I mean, I think Boston's kinda,
Boston
they
in
have
5?
The look in, I think Boston has that look. I mean, they should be up 3-0. I mean, they should be up 3-0. I mean, let's be clear here that for the first game, you know, if they would have made any adjustments in the fourth quarter, especially on you know, Harden, where they kept switching Al Horford on him, which gave Harden an opportunity to really make some shots and back him off. So once they've changed that, you know, Harden's been neutralized, and they double the big man. I mean, they don't, you know, there's no flow or continuity to the team. Now, could the Sixers win? Yeah, I think they're going to have to shoot like lights out for them to win. Mm-hmm. But let me say this to you really clearly. If this game gets to the fourth quarter and it's tight, they won't win it. Mm. If the Sunday game gets to the fourth quarter and it's tight, they won't win it. Even if they have a 10-point lead going in the fourth quarter, it'll be a hard game for them to finish, because their team is not set up for mental. It's been the same thing all the time. They signed PJ Tucker because they needed mental toughness, you know, and he can't make a, you know, they got him out in the corner. Nobody even defends him. The team is, to me, you know, and they're a classic regular season win team. Doc wants to win games in the regular season. It bumps up his win total, gets him in the Hall of Fame as a coach. But in terms of winning a title, which ultimately as a fan, that's what I want my team to do, because I am a fan. I want them to win a title. I want to rejoice. But they have no look of any of these teams from the past that actually had a chance to win. The 0-1 team with Iverson wasn't a great team. But they there weren't a lot of great players on the team. They were a great team.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't really as talented a team as it is right now. But like, everybody knew their role and everybody fit with all those guys, like Aaron McKee and Dikembe Mutombo and all those guys who were on that 2001 Philadelphia 76ers team. For game number 4, Sixers are 2.5-point home dogs. Some places even have it at 3. I'm curious to see how that line jumps around a little bit heading into tomorrow afternoon. That'll be a fascinating betting market to at least to gauge over these next 24 hours or so. Last night, we also saw in Phoenix, and how about this? This was the one that I absolutely needed after going 1-1 in that Sixers-Celtics game. The Phoenix Suns, they go ahead and beat the Denver Nuggets 121-114. They covered the spread, laying the 4. We absolutely needed that one. Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, once again, were spectacular. I mean, Booker, 47 points, Michael. I mean, this guy, every single night, he's asked to do a lot, and he delivers. I mean, they don't win every game, but he himself at least will deliver. And once again, he did it with a playoff career high 47.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, it took all of them, too, to get there, right?
It did.
I mean, it took every ounce of energy they had to get to this. And you know, look, they're a man down, let's be clear. You know, they're a man down with losing Chris Paul, and they fought back. And, look, I don't know if they have enough depth to go 7 with this series. You know, I don't know. I mean, it took 2 players, really. You know, when you look at it, Booker scores 47 and Durant scores 39, and nobody else has double figures. I mean, can you continue to win that way?
Nope. I don't think you can.
I don't think you can either. You know, the one thing they did, they only had 8 turnovers in the game, so they protected the ball. But I think, to me, at some point, you know, that's a hard formula to duplicate every single night in a 7-game series. That's why 7-game series, the best teams typically win. You know, it's not the college tournament where one game can determine the outcome. This is about 7 games, and you've got to be able – and what, a team can win one game, but winning 4 is really, really hard. The better team is always going to do that. So I just think, to me, when you only have 2 players that are actually dominating the game, it's hard.
I think – and here's my take. I think this series is more likely to end in 5 games than Boston and Philadelphia. I really think –
What are you watching?
I'm watching the Celtics. Celtics that won 6 games against Atlanta.
Well, that's yesterday. That's not today.
Yeah, and guess what's going to happen tomorrow?
let's go through this, Femi. I mean, let's say when you look over the landscape of Philly versus Boston, right over the last 3 years since we were in COVID, they swept them down there in Orlando. You know, the Philly beat them one time this year because the 2 of their players were out.
Yeah.
I mean, Philly doesn't match up to Boston. I mean, this is not like, oh, they're going to, you know. No, this isn't we win one, you win one. This isn't the Warriors-Kings. This is like the Celtics are the better team by far. I think that's clear.
Yeah, there's no argument for me in terms of who the better team is. I just don't think Boston is going to be focused enough to go ahead and close this thing out in 5. If they would have been, I would agree, but they would have done it against Atlanta, and they never did.
Yeah, but Atlanta's a different team than Philly. They're a worse team than Philly. Yeah, but they hate Philly. You're falling in the trap.
We'll talk more about this on the other side. It's the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are in the midst of what I like to call a bettor's paradise. And for a limited time, you can subscribe to VSiN for only $9.99. I mean, think about what you're getting. There's baseball best bets, NBA and NHL playoffs, the Kentucky Derby betting guide that is out right now. You still have time to go ahead and get that if you want to place your bets for the 149th running of the Kentucky Derby. See all of the top VSiN experts, betting records, profit, ROI. Check it all out. $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Make sure you go ahead and do that before the end of the show. All right, this is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi. And joining us right now, a very, very special guest. You've seen him on the broadcast leading up to the Kentucky Derby race. He was on the Kentucky Oaks broadcast yesterday. We'll be on the broadcast today for the Kentucky Derby starting at 2:30 Eastern time, 11:30 West Coast time. And it's the one and only Eddie Olszczyk, former NHL player, but he loves the ponies. So we're going to have him on today to talk ponies. Eddie, we appreciate you taking the time out of what is a very, very busy day for you. And we have to start with the breaking news from earlier this morning. The Kentucky Derby favorite, Forte, 3-1 on the morning line, has just been scratched. Your reaction to that news and how you think that will impact the race later on today?
Well, Femi, Michael, nice to be with you. I appreciate your time. Yeah, I guess there's no other way to say it. All hell is broken loose here at Churchill Downs. You know, there was some speculation the last couple of days after a gallop for Forte that there might be some news coming out of the Todd Fletcher stable. And sure enough, all the handicapping and what have you goes out the window and everybody's got to readjust. But, you know, that happens in all sports and it happens in horse racing. So, you know, there's a lot of money out there to be spent now. So, you know, where is it going to gravitate to? Like, that's probably the big question is, does it go to, you know, Tappet Trice, or does it go of Angel of Empire, who probably would be favorite and co-favorite, I think, as we move forward here. But that's a lot of money because, you know, in horse racing, people like to, you know, I mean, even novice horse players, you know, like to gravitate towards a favorite. I know what happened last year with Rich Strike at 81-1 and winning the Kentucky Derby. So I think everybody's just trying to get settled in. You know, as far as the race being run, this is just one less horse that has the ability to be able to come from off the pace because that's the way that Forte was going to run. But it's still going to be a heck of a race. Right now we have 18 horses running, but, you know, there's always rumors and speculation about maybe another possible scratch. So stay tuned. So hopefully we're going to have a nice full field, but you can go a lot of different directions this afternoon.
You know, Eddie, Angel of Empire won the Arkansas Derby, and he allegedly has, and you're the handicapper here, I'm not, but has great closing speed. How does this race set up for him to win it? Will he have to lay back and then at the turn close out?
Yeah, I think, Michael, for just, you know, I guess not getting too deep in the, you know, handicapping and horse racing, getting too deep into the, you know, into the woods here. But the faster they go, and these horses are going to run a mile and a quarter, which a lot of these horses will never run again. They're going to be running in front of 170,000 people, which they will probably never do again. You're going to run in a field of 17 or 18 opponents, which they're probably never going to do again. And when you are navigating through that many horses, Michael, as we saw last year in Red Strike, there are a lot of things that have to open up. It's almost like running a kickoff back, right? Where, you know what, like the hole's got to open. And if they don't open, you know, all of a sudden you got the ball on your own 8 or 9 yard line. Like those are just things that you need some luck. Like you need things to go the right way. But Angel of Empire is certainly a very talented equine athlete. But the faster that they go early certainly sets it up for him. He'll be probably mid-pack, so probably at some point early in the race, maybe a half mile in, he'll probably be sitting somewhere right in the middle of the field and then look to make that big run. But again, you're going to have to stick handle your way through and navigate and be able to make that turn. But yes, he does have a very powerful kick, and assuming he's going to need it depending on how fast they go this afternoon.
But we're speaking with Eddie Olczyk, a former NHL player and horse racing expert. You can check him out on NBC's broadcast of the Kentucky Derby later on this afternoon, 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 West Coast time. And our friends at First Bet have the preferred betting app of Eddie Olczyk. Visit First Bet, that's 1st.com/bet, or download First Bet in the App Store. And you can go ahead and use the promo code EDZO, E-D-Z-O, and get a free $20 wager when you use that promo code. So, Eddie, if a listener's listening right now and is hearing what you have to say about this race and all the chaos that has ensued over the last few days here, if you had those $20, which horse would you bet on to win this race?
Yeah, I mean, look, I've been on the horse. The horse I'm going to play and use on all of my exotics, and, of course, I get my opportunity to make my pick later this afternoon. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking at the number two horse, Verifying. Also trained by the same trainer of Angel of Empire, but Verifying, the number two horse, I think will be every bit of at least 10-1. Now, I thought maybe get 15-1 before the scratch of Forte, but I would say, look, if you're going to sign up with First Bet and Express Bet, and I don't know if you guys can answer this question, but there's a pretty good chance that I think I can wear out my app. I'm not sure if that's possible on my phone. To wear out an app, but there's a good chance that I'm going to be firing all day as I usually do on these big days. But I would say, look, you know, you sign up and you get that free $20 wager. And look, I think you can bet 5-1, 5-place on the two horse, Verifying, who I think will be very close to the lead. I don't want him on the lead, but I'd like to see him sitting, you know, third or fourth or fifth would be okay. His dad, his sire, is Justify, and we all remember that name of the last winner of the Triple Crown. So he can certainly go the mile and a quarter. So I think he's coming to this race extremely well. And Tap the Trice, the 5-horse, who you also have to use, beat him in the last race in Lexington a couple of weeks ago. So I say, look, take 5 and 5, and then take the other 10, and you know, play some numbers you like with the 2 and the 5, and hopefully you can turn that $20 into, you know, $300 or $400, and then you go from there. So, but my pick's going to be Verifying, and I just think that he has the ability to be able to sit a really nice trip and try to get a jump on those closers, indeed, if they get the opportunity to come down the center of the track.
Eddie, track conditions today, how will they be in terms of for this race? And you know, we know this is a mile and a quarter is really a hard race, but is there any potential Triple Crown winner in the field?
Oh, boy, Michael. It's going to be fast and firm today. The weather looks beautiful. We'll see how the track is playing over the course of all the dirt races today. And, of course, the Kentucky Derby is run on dirt, a mile and a quarter, as you mentioned. I think that when you get to this situation, and again, I keep going back to navigating through 17 or 18 opponents in a particular race, you know, those are the type of things that, you know, you got to have a jockey on, you got to have a pilot there. It does become a jockey's race on knowing when to go and, you know, can my horse make a 3/8 of a mile run, or do I need them to start going a half mile out? And look at, this is the greatest race that we have in our country. And, you know, sometimes you get some jockeys that maybe move a little bit earlier and you still got another 100 yards, you know, another 100 yards to the wire. So let's see how the track is playing. And we'll try to make some people money all day on our broadcast on NBC, which will be starting at noon. So I think we're going to have 6 or 7 races we're going to be talking about over the course of the day. So hopefully, as we like to say in the business, hopefully pad our bankroll and make a little bit of money, and then I get the great fortune to head to Newark, New Jersey tomorrow morning for the NHL on TNT. I get to do the afternoon game, game 3 tomorrow between the Canes and the Devils, and right now the Canes have a stranglehold on that series 2-0. So as in my world, guys, pucks and ponies, there's nothing better at this time of year, and looking forward to the Derby, and then looking forward to getting back to the hockey playoffs tomorrow.
Pucks and ponies, cannot have said it any better myself there, Eddie. We got about a minute left. Not to get negative here, is there a horse that you'd be looking to fade for our matchup players, the people that like to get involved with the Derby matchup? Is there a horse that you would kind of identify that, hey, I don't think this horse is going to perform as well as the odds suggest?
If you can find a matchup between, you know, Verifying and Tappet Trice, because they come out of the same race. And Tappet Trice won the last race, and they went a little bit shorter it over in Lexington and Keeneland. You know, look, I like Verifying. So, look, if I could find a matchup head-to-head between Verifying the 2 and Tappet Trice the 5, I would go that way and say that I think the 2 has a chance to finish ahead of Tappet Trice.
Love it, Eddie. Thank you so much. Awesome job. What a great week for you, Eddie. Pucks and ponies. I mean, it's so good.
Thank you.
I envy you.
Have a great weekend. Keep up the great work. Appreciate it.
Awesome stuff. That is Eddie Olczyk, former hockey. Like you said, he's very, very much into the NHL and the Stanley Cup playoffs. He'll be on the broadcast, like you mentioned. But
one thing about horse racing is there's always people in other sports that are horse racing people too. Parcells, you know, we've seen it a lot in the sense. I just finished a book about Gene Klein, the former owner of the San Diego Chargers, you know, was also in there. So it's kind of interesting how both sides kind of go either both ways.
Yeah, the horse racing brings all the people to the barn. All right, we will talk more NFL and get to the news and notes on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Believe it or not, there's still time to pick your favorite horse to win the Kentucky Derby. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for just $9.99 and get all access to everything we do, including our Kentucky Derby betting guide. We have profiles on the horses, the jockeys, the trainers, so you know which horses are the favorites, the sleepers, and the long shots, plus best bets from Dave Tooley and other VSiN experts to help you make the most out of your Kentucky Derby bets. This offer won't last long, so subscribe today for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Michael Lombardi's got that smile on his face. We're excited for Derby Day out in Churchill Downs. Be a lot of fun. We had Eddie Olczyk, former NHL player and a hockey racing expert. He'll be on the broadcast of the Kentucky Derby coming up later today, 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 West Coast time on NBC, giving his expert analysis in the last segment. Make sure to check that out in podcast form if you miss it. We're going to have Mike Somich on, VSiN contributor and of RacingDudes.com at 8:15 West Coast time, 11:15 Eastern time. So if you missed Eddie, check it out in the podcast form. But we're also going to have Mike Somich on, who also is very, very well-versed in the ponies. So a lot of Kentucky Derby and horse racing discussion on the show. We were talking during the break, Michael.
We're really missing on the show, I think Elliot kind of let one slip by. We're missing an expert on how to make mint juleps. I think that's what we're missing, right? We should have brought Millie on to do that. She could handle that job easily, yeah.
The mint juleps are going to be flowing at the Lombardi residence later on this afternoon?
I'm sure they will be, yeah. I'm sure they will be. I won't have one, but I mean, I'm sure they will be, yeah, for sure. I mean, you got to have the drink of choice, right? I mean, when it was Cinco de Mayo, you didn't have a margarita? Come on. I mean, I know you're busy over there handling things in Great Britain. You know, you got to make sure your appearances. And you got so many court cases now that you're defending Embiid now, too. So that's good. I mean, I love how you're collecting clients along the way. I love it.
It's, you got to make a
your
living
firm
somehow.
Is booming. I mean, your firm is booming. I mean, really, it's seriously, you're going to have to find a few paralegals over there to help your firm out.
You got to make a living somehow. I've already recruited Elliot. Elliot's going to be representing Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, I mean, Elliot, he can't help himself. He just sees the blue and white, and he can't help himself.
He's going to be representing our guy, Anthony Richardson, coming up this season. I saw the passes from the rookie mini camp or whatever, they're already circulating on Twitter, so people getting excited about these guys. But a lot of NFL dignitaries were at the Kentucky Oaks yesterday. We saw Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams. A lot of folks that love to dabble into. Josh Allen was out there as well. So
yeah, I think it's one of the hardest places. I think it's one of the hardest events in the country to get space for your private plane. Oh, I mean, wow. I think this is it's really hard to get. Like, you got to book that well in advance to get your private plane in there. It's just not, hey, I'm showing up, can I land? I think this is one of those events that there's great wealth that comes along with this from all over the world. It's just not, and sports people gravitate to it. I mean, Brady used to take a bunch of the Patriot players there every single year.
That'd be a hell of a team bonding trip, I'll tell you that. Maybe next year or a couple years from now, we got to do that. Put a Lombardi line /GM shuffle team bonding trip to Churchill Downs with the Kentucky Derby, and we can do the show live from the.
I'm just trying to get us to the Mob Museum first. I'm just trying to go two blocks north. That's all I'm trying to do.
All right. Well, we're worried about Louisville in the future. When we get to the Mob Museum, we'll tackle that one a little bit. But let's talk some NFL news and notes there. I know our Baltimore audience is very excited that Lamar Jackson has signed that 5-year, $260 million contract. At times this offseason, I thought Lamar was headed elsewhere. I thought we were headed toward a divorce between the Ravens and Jackson. They come together, they mend the fences, they ink the deal. 5 years, $260 million, $185 million guaranteed. And this was an interesting negotiation, to say the least, because Lamar Jackson not represented by an agent, and that was what kind of led a lot of the discussion. And Lamar was asked about that process of going from player to businessman. And here's what he had to say at the press conference to celebrate the long-term extension.
It's a business at the end of the day, and if you're gonna represent yourself, you know you gotta have a strong mind. I wouldn't say you get out there and put your feelings in it, because it's not about feelings. You know, you can't take things with I don't like what you said. I don't agree with this. You know, it's like what they feel is how you feel. You know, it's a grown man thing at the end of the day. So you got to be a grown man if you're going to handle business.
Excellent sweatshirt, by the way, from Lamar Jackson as well, if I must comment.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, I think at the end of the day, Lamar is saying that he wasn't interested in going anywhere else, but he did the classic, you know, delete all social media, say goodbye to everybody. I mean, maybe that's the tactic that you use, but my sense of this is, I think Baltimore finally came around, and I think it took a couple contracts to get Baltimore to come around, you know, and it took the Jalen Hurts deal, and it took, you know, all these other deals, and it took Lamar to come around. I think when you break this deal down, it's a 3-year contract. I mean, the cap numbers in years 4 and 5 are astronomical, $72 million cap number. So even though he extended this deal out on a 7-year option contract that voids to 5, they're going to have to readjust this after 3 years. But I think it works, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I'm sure Baltimore's sitting there saying, okay, we now have to find our answer 3 years from now, or we're going to have to pay Lamar even more money. Because the one thing we do know, this market's going to continue to rise. You know, water seeks its level here. So, and I think Baltimore realized the alternative wasn't very good. I mean, here's the Colts trying to make Anthony Richardson to become the next Lamar, right? Mm-hmm. And they don't have to pay him for 5 years, but there's no guarantee he can. So for Baltimore, it was either we do this or we're going to fall behind, because the guy has won 45 games for our team. And we're a different team when he's playing than we are when he's not.
You know, I 100% agree with you there. And I think it just made way too much sense for the Ravens to bring him back, like you said, because you don't want to fall behind in this arms race that is the AFC. There's so many good quarterbacks in that conference. And I was on a show earlier this week, and I said, I'm like, man, I think if you did a top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL, at least 8 of them are coming from the AFC, maybe even 9. You know, so
which really makes the Philly over 11.5 win total, I think it's what, 11.5?
No, 10.5.
10.5. It makes that seem, to me, a little bit, I know it's juiced to the over, but it seems too good of a bet. I mean, because they're not playing great quarterbacks every week. I mean, they got Daniel Jones, who they continue to beat. Washington, they've got Sam Howell. We don't know how good he is. We know Dak Prescott, maybe with a new offense and how they're going to run the football and what they're going to do down there. But to me, you're right. When Rodgers shifted over and Brady left, I mean, two of the best quarterbacks in the league left the NFC.
Yeah, it's very imbalanced in Baltimore. If you want to compete in that AFC, you got to have your guy, and they made sure to have their guy for the next 5 years here. Just as a general topic, where do you think these quarterback contracts are going to go? I mean, the TV money that keeps flowing in, the money now from the gambling and all that stuff with DraftKings and other prominent sportsbooks that sponsor the NFL, like, there's just so much money in with the salary cap, and it continues to skyrocket. Are we going to get to a point where we're seeing $65, $70 million contracts per year for these quarterbacks?
I mean, we're seeing it in the NBA, and those guys don't even play every night. I mean, look, it's all tied to television, right? It's all tied to the interest of the NFL and the marketability of the NFL. I mean, you know, everybody thought that when DirecTV bailed out on the Sunday ticket that's because of the red zone, the Sunday ticket wasn't as valuable. Okay, now they just pay way more for it, you know? Mm. And so we know it's valuable. Everything the NFL touches turns to gold. And you know, when a franchise sells for $6.05 billion, if that actually does close, those players were instrumental in making that money. Mm-hmm. And that money is going to come back. And it's because of the ratings. It's because – and betting has really enhanced it. And in my new book that's coming out in September, I talked about the influences of outside forces that generated the game. And, you know, Howard Cosell was one of them with Monday Night Football. If they don't put Cosell in that booth on Monday night – you know, maybe there's not that chemistry within the three gentlemen, Gifford and Dan Meredith, and people that tuned in for that. And then you have the great Brent Musburger, our Brent Musburger, mm-hmm. who basically kind of segued some gambling conversations with Jimmy the Greek into the NFL Today, which piqued everybody's interest, and that really drove it. And then, of course, you have the great John Madden. So the NFL is unique in the sense that it's a great product, but when you had outside forces to enhance it, like in the 70s, it makes it even better.
Yeah, no, it really feels like there's nothing that they can do to stop this rocket from heading toward the moon, because, man, every single year it feels like we're getting more and more, and the salary cap is rising. And on the surface right now, it's like, oh, my God, the Ravens are paying Lamar Jackson so much money. 3 years from now, this might be a run-of-the-mill contract. It just might be what it is.
But wait till they put betting apps at every stadium seat like they have in Europe? When do they start doing that?
That's around the corner for sure. Speaking of getting a lot of money, how about Dexter Lawrence for the New York Giants? I know your beloved New York Giants. They signed him 4 years, $90 million extension, and has $60 million guaranteed there. So Lawrence is done. Daniel Jones is done. Is Saquon Barkley next?
I don't get the sense of that. I think that they, I think they realize that I think they would like Saquon to play on the tender. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, look, Dalvin Cook's out there. I mean, you know, we had Howard Eskin on yesterday, and he talked about Swift, and he talked about the value of getting this guy, and he talked about, you know, the lack of runners. I mean, we know Dalvin Cook's available. I mean, let me ask you this question. Who would you rather have, Dalvin Cook or Saquon?
Oh, Saquon.
Okay, so how much – but if you could get Dalvin Cook at a reduced number, would you rather have him?
Yeah. No, I mean, Dalvin Cook at $4 million is better than Saquon at $10 million.
There you go. See, you just answered the key question. It's not player for player. It's player salary plus player salary. That's how you have to evaluate today. Yeah. And I think that because of the money as it goes up, you can't pay everybody. So I think Dexter Lawrence deserved the money. He's a really good player. Leonard Williams wasn't the same player.
JBT coming up next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM is an official sports betting partner of the NHL, and hey, laces up with a playoff parlay insurance offer. Place a one-game parlay of four legs or more and get back a bonus bet up to $25 if you miss one leg. Enjoy the playoffs like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and parlay selection features throughout the postseason. Log in now or sign up and opt in to get back up to $25 in bonus bets if one leg in your one-game parlay falls short. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for T's and C's, 21 plus, new customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. I think that's the first time I've ever heard terms and conditions called T's and C's, but hey, we're learning stuff on the fly here on the Lombardi Line. This is presented by BetMGM. Femi Bebefe alongside Michael Lombardi. And joining us right now to help us break down all things NBA, it's our VSiN senior NBA analyst, also the host of the Hardwood Handicappers podcast. Make sure you check that out. He does fantastic work on VSiN.com. Read his stuff on the daily, the one and only Jonathan Von Tobel. JVT, how we doing today? We're talking, Michael and I have been having a spirited debate on the show in between breaks about Sixers-Celtics. Last night, Boston goes ahead and gets the win. They ruined the coronation for Joel Embiid getting the MVP. Is this now just Celtics in five, or do you believe Philadelphia can put up a fight here in this series?
Well, I'm hoping it's Celtics in five because I've got an under 5.5 in this series. And the reason why is because I thought that the Celtics could win this thing in four or five games. And that was with the thought too, Femi, that was not a bet that I was like, hey, Embiid's not going to play. That was with the thought that Embiid would be healthy. I just think Boston matches up really well with the Philadelphia 76ers. They're not like Brooklyn, right? They have a body. They have two bodies, Al Horford and Robert Williams, that they feel comfortable putting out there on an island with Joel Embiid. They at least feel comfortable enough that that's something that we don't have to send doubles as frequently as a team like Brooklyn does. So then we get to guard everybody else one up, and we have a little bit of an edge in almost every single one of those matchups in a one-on-one setting. So you look at just the way these matchups break down on an individual basis, I would put that in the column of Boston. Three-point shooting. Philadelphia is not a team that shoots the ball very frequently. They shoot it well, but they don't shoot it frequently. So this math battle that we're going to talk a little bit more about with the Los Angeles Lakers and the Golden State Warriors, that's one that goes in favor of Boston more times than not. And I mean, look, in garbage or non-garbage time yesterday, they only made one more three-pointer than the Philadelphia 76ers. They shot nine more three-pointers, though. So that's going to be something that works in the Boston Celtics' favor. And I just think when you look at Philly defensively, Joel Embiid does make a difference. However, we've talked about this, I think, with you guys before. When you took Tyrese Maxey and put him back in the starting lineup for more offense, you sacrificed some of your defense. Maxey and Harden are not a great defensive backcourt. And so what happens through the first three games of the series? Well, Boston's been operating a pretty high clip in terms of their offensive efficiency through the first few games of this series. So I think you put everything together, and I'm not surprised. We talked about this on the podcast, and I put it this way to Kelly. I was like, of the first two games in this series, what's more likely? Philly's game one performance for the rest of the series or Boston's game two performance for the rest of the series? And wholeheartedly, both of us were like, oh yeah, Boston. And sure enough, the last two games, you're kind of seeing it.
Well, I mean, look, since 2002, the Sixers have only won one playoff game. They're 1-6 in the playoffs against Boston. I mean, I don't know what more you have to do. They're the better team. They're built better. They know how to match up to Philly. Philly, you know, JVT, how much longer are we going to continue to hear he doesn't have the right supporting cast around him? I mean, seriously, I mean, I know Harden didn't play well at all last night. He played well in game one. But to me, I think you're right. They can't defend. They're bad on the wings. It's been a problem all year. And, you know, when he can score, it's great. But they all stand around. They don't pass the ball. They let him kind of be the focal point of the offense, and they get stuck.
Yeah, I agree with that, Michael. And I think that's why we were also, I think, pleasantly surprised by game one Harden, because it was like, oh, okay, like he still has some scoring in him. But you've now seen over the larger sample size, like, look, he's not the same James Harden. He is acquiescing to both Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey at times. And he just doesn't have the ability to get to the free throw line as often, to score as efficiently. And like, that's kind of the big deal, right? Is when you look around here and, you know, you said, how often are we going to do this with the supporting cast? I think the supporting cast is good enough to win a series or two. And, you know, if Joel Embiid has his, you know, 100% type of game, he is capable, or should be capable, of putting a team on his back and winning a game against an opponent like the Boston Celtics. You're the MVP. You should be able to do that. But Harden needs to play better, and I just don't know if that's going to happen. If Tyrese Maxey is going to be your only scoring outlet, like as much as I love Tyrese Maxey, or you're going to depend on a Tobias Harris to have a breakout game here or there, that's just not enough for you if you're Philadelphia. So if you want to phrase it right as anybody else out there that he doesn't have enough, I guess I can kind of see it. But I would phrase it more, Michael, as You're James Harden. You should be on the way that you are paid. You should be the guy that is the second wheel here. Look at Jaylen Brown. How often do we see Jaylen Brown pick up the slack when Jason Tatum is not playing very well? Look at what happened last night with Phoenix. Both of those guys showed up when nobody else on that team could score more than 7 points, and they got a win over the Denver Nuggets. You should be able to find that if you're Harden or any one of these teammates, but specifically Harden, and he just can't.
Not to make this Sixers hour, but the way that you guys have been kind of talking about this series, it's as if Philly shouldn't even show up. So is laying Celtics 2.5 tomorrow, is that just free money?
No, I see. Nothing's ever free, right? And as I mentioned, too, and we'll phrase this, Femi, I'll put it the same way that I put it with the Phoenix-Denver series, right? Like, I'm very much in the camp of the Denver Nuggets that that thing is going to end early. However, I mean, I said it like six times. It's like, is there a scenario where Kevin Durant and Devin Booker go nuclear and extend this thing out? Sure. And that happened yesterday. So is it really unrealistic to think that Philly comes out in their next game and goes, you know what, like Joel Embiid, let's score 50 on 25 shots, get this thing done, and he does it, and they win? Yeah, sure, I think that's possible. But I think that when you're looking at like the larger sample size, Femi, the more that it grows, right? You have a team in Philadelphia that will win 1-3 straight up, 0-4 against the spread against Boston in the regular season. Their one win, which is a failed cover, Joel Embiid needed over 50 points on like 70% shooting to beat him by two, and they didn't have Robert Williams or Jaylen Brown. I think this is more just like a matchup thing, right? Like everything goes so well for Boston in multiple matchups. So, you know, you don't want to phrase it as, like you said, right, free money or don't show up to play. But it's just, I think if you're looking at this logically with what we've seen in this series so far, I find it hard to make the argument that Philadelphia is now going to go on and win three out of the next, you know, few games, because I think that's just a lot to ask given how many matchups work in their favor.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think we talked about this earlier in the show, JVT, that the Nuggets, you know, when you watch that series against the Sun, there's just no way that you can have a formula where Booker and Durant are just the whole offense and no one else scores in double digits.
Yeah, I saw. So there was a couple of people, I guess, I think they were Suns fans trying to take a victory lap. Like, see, but I'll ask you this. You think that over the course of this series, two guys combining for over 80 points and no other player scoring more than seven is a sustainable thing for them to win a series? Because I would say absolutely not, especially when you're talking about still needing to go on the road here. So again, is there a reality in which for a second consecutive home game, the Kevin Durant and Devin Booker tandem combine for, again, over 80 points and you get this thing done and tie a series? Sure. But are you really banking that of like all the simulations of this series, that that's going to carry you to a series victory? More often than not, that's an absolute no. Like, it's just way too much to ask of these guys. And even when, like, if I were to tell you, hey, Kevin Durant and Devin Booker combined for over 80 points, you would think this thing's a blowout, and it was tight, like, the way down into the fourth quarter. Like, it's just not a sustainable formula for success. So, you know, somebody who bet this before it started, I bet the Denver Nuggets last night money line. I'm going to be on them again here in game four. I just think that this series, the way this has gone down with Chris Paul's injury, with the lack of depth with this bench, and the fact that you're asking Kevin Durant and Devin Booker to give you over 40 minutes a game, it's just not something that's sustainable for Phoenix as you go forward in the series.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I love Denver money line for game number four there. I think this is done in five after what we saw yesterday. JVT, we got a couple minutes left. What do you think of tonight's game? Warriors, Lakers, LA laying three, total 228.
All right, so I made a reference with Kelly on the podcast that I know Michael's not going to get, but I'm hoping, Femi, because you're closer to my age, that you're going to get this. But I likened what the Warriors did in game two to in Yu-Gi-Oh! Where one of those guys plays a trap card, right, in the middle of a turn where you're like, all right, cool. Like, I've got something here that you don't. What's your counter? Do the Lakers then have a trap card of their own to play? And I just don't think that's really the case, right? Like, when you look at what the Warriors did, and maybe they stumbled into this because Kevon Looney was sick, but playing Jermichael Green instead of Kevon Looney gives you four shooters on the floor at one.
Oh, I believe we lost the audio there on JVT there, but he was making the point that the Lakers might be in a little bit of trouble here.
Yeah, well, I think what he was saying is exactly kind of what we talked about, is every game's a series of adjustments, right? And so Kerr, whether it was stumbled upon by making the Looney switch or not, but now it's up to Derek Ham to see what he has in his arsenal. And I think that kind of goes, does he have enough? Can they do that? And I think that's the problem with the series. It's, you know, once you declare who you are, for example, Boston, Philly, you know, Philly doesn't have an answer for the wings. They don't have it on their bench. They don't have it on their roster. It's a design problem. It's not a production problem, because you can't produce if the design's wrong. And I think Philly Philly's design has been wrong for a long time because you can't. It's proven. I mean, it's hard to win with a center in today's game. I mean, that's just the way it is. And when they took Looney off the court, I think it really made the Warriors a better team in terms of being able to space the court.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see how Anthony Davis performs. He's been on this every other game kick all throughout the postseason, played really well in game number one, 30, 20, and 5, played poorly in game two. Does he bring it tonight for game number three, a very pivotal game, Warriors-Lakers, and what a fun series that has been. That is it for hour number one. Hour number two, better or worse, teams that didn't make the playoffs in the NFL, can they do it in 2023? We'll answer that question next.